hopefully they're not reading things that are not safe for work. But it's just such a great way to connect with people, is to hear about what they're reading. Hola, and welcome back to Boss Memos. In this episode, I want to talk about getting cozy with books this fall. Whether you're in a reading slump or you haven't picked up a book in a very long time, I want to give you some tips on how to find your next read without book talk. Because let's be real, book talk is not that great at recommending books. Without further ado, let's get into it. So why the hate on book talk? When I myself is, like, I would say I'm part of BookTube, I'm part of BookSky. I just think book talk is specifically geared at selling you things. TikTok as a whole is geared at selling you things because they have a shop integrated right there in the app. And book talkers specifically are constantly shilling Kindle cases, Kindle stickers, book talk stickers, books themselves, and book totes. Like, just all these bookish accessories, and they make it feel like, oh, it's just the aesthetic of being a reader. You have to have all these things. And in reality, most people join because they want to read. And they want to get reading recommendations. And so you see where there's a dissonance here between what book talk does and what it claims to be doing. And so I highly recommend distancing from book talk. As much as they say it's a community based on buying things, ultimately. And you know what they say? Buying books is a separate hobby from reading books. So that's another side of the coin, is we have a community of people that is based on this buying culture. Rarely do I see somebody from book talk saying, read with me at my local library. Read with me as I, like, read my thrift store finds. Like, there's so many ways to get a hold of a book that does not require a Amazon wish list or an Amazon storefront, right? And Amazon is notoriously one of the biggest sellers of books, and yet, and Kindles. I have a Kindle. And yet they are also one of the least ethical places to buy your books. So with all of that said, I'm highly critical of book talk and what it claims to be doing. Not only is it rampant with hyper-consumerism, it also has this genre fixation where to go viral on BookTok, you need to be short and snappy. And to get a book to go viral, you have to oversimplify it. So BookTok is very into classifying books into aesthetics like dark academia, dark romance, romantasy. Like, getting nicher and nicher with the genres so that they can reach an audience, right, and tap into that audience and create edits and all of these things that don't really help you find your next read unless you only read a super niche genre. And yes, I was that person for a long time. Like, growing up, I would only read romance, but I think it's just so much healthier for your reading habit to diversify your genres, to read fiction and nonfiction, to read memoirs, to, like, just move outside of the bounds of genres. And you'll find so much more satisfaction that way, too, because the tropes, like, that's part of it, right? Like, they, on book talk, usually describe a book based on what tropes it follows. And tropes get boring. Like, I know this from discussing romance books with my book club, is just there's not much to unpack there. And yes, it's good to have that fluffy read, but ultimately it's not really feeding you. So if you're only reading that, you're not being fed by the books you're reading. So that's my other problem with book talk, is this hyperfixation on genres. And lastly, like, I just don't think it's really possible to get a good, like, all your recommendations from book talk, because you'd have to be very closely matched up with that creator. And yes, you can probably find a creator eventually that's, like, very close to your reading tastes, but ultimately, like, these creators are just jumping on trends just like any other side of TikTok. And so they're reviewing trendy books. They're not really reviewing books that are the best book for you, if that makes sense. So those are all my problems with BookTok. And as a real example, I just was commenting under somebody's post on Blue Sky because they started reading Butcher and the Blackbird because it's very popular on BookTok. That was their first read, trying to get back into reading, and they had to stop because it is a super gory and graphic book. I haven't read it because I don't like to read that stuff. But if you're just seeing it on BookTok as like an oversimplified one key word kind of thing, you don't really realize what you're getting into, and then you're stuck. You're like, oh, well, this is what's popular and I didn't like it, so what am I supposed to read? And I think people can enjoy popular books. Like, that's not the problem here. It's just that the popular books are the only things that get surfaced on BookTok. So that's why I want to make this episode, is I want to talk about ways that you can find your next read without BookTok and without AI. Like, we don't need AI to figure this out. AI will do the same thing, right? It's just going to surface the most popular books. So... And also for those of you that are trying to get into reading, it's like cozy fall, Labor Day is over. It means we're officially in like fashion fall. Soon the leaves are going to start changing and the weather will start to feel like fall. And I don't know what's cozier than getting a little book, lighting your pumpkin spice candle. I've got mine lit. Getting your little mug of tea and just reading. So I want to get you set up for success for a cozy fall. That costs nothing. You don't have to buy any books for this. And yeah, we can just enjoy our public libraries and find books that we like. So my first recommendation, this is always my first recommendation for getting back into reading, is finding a book club. I found mine through a friend of a friend on Facebook. There's also usually book clubs run by your local library. Sometimes there's book clubs at work, even. There's a million different ways to find a book club, so don't use that as an excuse to not join one. And then once you're in a book club, that takes all the thought out of it. They've already got a list of books that they're going to read and discuss, so you've got built-in recommendations, built-in accountability to actually finish the book, so that helps you kickstart your reading habit. And then you've got a built-in community that actually cares about reading, because sometimes it just feels like BookTok doesn't even care about reading because they're reading so much so that they can turn reading into content. And that's where I like have a even bigger problem, is because it's like we're no longer reading to enjoy the books. We're reading because we set this like insane 100 book reading goal, because that means you have a new video every like 3 days, right? Every 4 days, 3 to 4 days. So yeah, like we want to be surrounded by readers that are reading for actual pleasure and for the enjoyment of it and to expand their thinking. So a book club can offer you all of that, plus snacks sometimes. So highly recommend. Plus, I mean, in my experience, my book club, we switch genres every month. So that has really helped me rediscover what I really like and what I don't like. And it kind of sucks when we're reading stuff that I don't like, but that it's still helpful, because even if you can't write off a genre entirely, right? There's always going to be outliers. There's always going to be books that you're like, I usually don't read thriller, but this one was really interesting and stuck with me. So highly recommend finding a book club. It's also just great to get offline. Like, I missed my last meeting and I was really sad, because I do really like talking to those ladies, and it's just a good 2 hours where I completely unplug. I'm not checking my phone. I'm just like laughing and talking and like connecting with people in real life. So that's another reason I don't love BookTok, is it's all online and there's only so much an online community can really do for you. So that's tip number one, find a book club that will help you find your next read, and it will help you get a community and get back into reading. That's what got me back into reading. My next tip, which I feel like I've only recently discovered it because I'm currently reading The Martian by Andy Weir. And it's very famous because of the book. I mean, the movie came out in 2015. I watched the movie before I read the book. Love the movie. I'm going to watch it again after I finish reading the book. And I am flying through it. I've finished like over 60% of it in the last like 2 days. So it's super easy to read, really fun. And because I have watched the movie, like it's very easy to like picture what's happening. But now I'm getting even more details than what the movie had. So my tip here is look at your favorite movies and see which one of them were based on books, because it was hard to pin down a real stat, but if you do a quick Google search, like about 50% of movies are based on books. So there's a good likelihood that one of your favorites is based on a book. And I mean, I'll link this article from Glamour, 45 movies based on books that are actually worth watching. So I guess that's kind of the reverse of what we want. It's movies that you should watch because they're based on a book. But I mean, a lot of these are books that are also worth reading. Like Pride and Prejudice, I'll admit, I tried to read it this year. I read it in like middle school and I hated it. And I tried to read it again this year, and I couldn't get into it. So it's a classic. It's not for me. But, like, if you love Pride and Prejudice, like, why wouldn't you read the book? So there's that. Little Women, that's obviously based on Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. Crazy Rich Asians, that's also based on a book of the same title. Gone Girl, that's a good book. I'm pretty sure I've read that one. Especially if you're into thrillers or you like thriller movies, read a thriller book. They're super fast and they're page turners, so that will get you right back into reading. What else have we got here? The Devil Wears Prada is actually based on a novel called The Devil Wears Prada by Lauren Weisberger. Yeah, The Color Purple. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, if you think of a movie, likely it's based on a book. And I feel like that's a great tip for finding your next read, especially if you're in a reading slump, because you already love the movie, you're very familiar with it, and that's just going to help you read the book even faster. So that's kind of a novel tip for getting back into reading, is read a book that a movie was made on it. And another thing I'll say is, like, if a book was turned into a movie, more than likely that book was fucking fantastic, because somebody read that book and was like, we got to turn this into a movie. We're going to invest millions, maybe billions of dollars into turning this into a feature film. And we're going to hire people. We're going to hire actors. Like, all of this work goes into turning a book into a movie. And so they've got to have a lot of faith in that book. I will say sometimes it's a miss. I read Argylle earlier this year, and I mean, that one was an interesting one because I think the book and movie came out at like the same time or something. And I didn't really like either of them. But I mean, a lot of people liked them. So I think it's worth a shot. If you're looking for your next read, check out your watch list for things that you've watched. So my next idea on how to find your next read without book talk is think about your hobbies, your interests, and what you studied in college. I think for me, when I was getting back into reading, I was really stuck on what I had read previously as a way to figure out what to read next. I was like, well, the last time I really read for pleasure was like middle school, high school, and I was reading dystopian, like The Hunger Games and Harry Potter and like romance novels. So I was like, I guess that's what I like. And that was a mistake. Because your interests change and your reading tastes are also going to change. Even if you haven't been reading, they have changed as you've changed. So when I look at my reading list of things that I've read, I can see a lot of patterns that align with my hobbies and my interests And I mean, part of that is like you study in college things that you're interested in. So that's an easy way to just figure out what you're interested in. So for example, I'm a podcaster. You're listening to this podcast right now. And one of my favorite reads from this year is None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell, which is a thriller that is a podcast. Like, the book is written from a podcaster's perspective, and the thriller is unfolding as she's podcasting. So I was super interested in that. It's a great audiobook, too, because it just feels like a super long podcast. For computer science, I was a computer science major. Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. Great book. I think this was popular on Book Talk, but it aligned with my interests. So that's why I read it. It's like about programmers making a video game. And it had so much more to it. Like, it's an amazing novel. If I mean, you don't really have to be interested in video gaming to read it, but I loved it and it aligns with my interests. Broken Code. This is a nonfiction. So this strategy works to get you nonfiction and fiction reads. By Jeff Horwitz. I did not like this book. It was very dry, but it was written by a journalist, so it kind of makes sense. But it was about like how Facebook is very corrupt, and we kind of all know that. So, but yeah, two books based on my interest of computer science. Politics, I'm just going to speed run through these. On Tyranny, Timothy Snyder. Undocumented by Aviva Chomsky. American Dirt by Janine Cumins. Two are nonfiction, one is fiction, but based on a very like real story of immigrating to the United States. So if you're interested in politics, there's fiction and nonfiction that you can be reading and get some of your political interests through reading. So that was interesting when I, and these are all books I've read within like the last 2 years. So the last, I've got a couple more categories here. Linguistics. This is something that I started studying in college, like my junior or senior year. So it was kind of late in the game. I couldn't like change my major or anything, like specialize in it, but I loved my linguistics class. And I basically made my whole thesis a linguistics thesis as one of my projects. And I have read 4 linguistic books within the last 2 years, which it's kind of crazy, but it's because I'm very interested in it and I can continue learning by reading these books. And spoiler, 2 of them are fiction. So like, even if your hobby is kind of like, or your interest is very like sciencey or like feels like there wouldn't really be fiction about it, there is. So 2 fiction books, Native Tongue by Suzette Haddon Elgin. I've talked about this one on the pod before. Algo Speak by Adam Alexic. That was in the last episode. I want to do like a whole episode dedicated to it, but I'm getting there. I got a lot of ideas. Okay. Word Slut by Amanda Montell. That's a nonfiction. She is also very passionate about linguistics, and that one was more like feminist linguistics. And then Babel by R.F. King, which I've also talked about before, I believe. And that one is like, I always say it's like if Harry Potter was set in Oxford and the magic is based on linguistics. So very fun. All of those. I loved all of those so much. And it's just fueling my passion for linguistics now that I'm graduated and way outside of college now. I graduated in 2022. So that's kind of crazy that we are now approaching 2026. I don't want to think about it. I'm still young. I'm youthful. Okay. And then my last category here is my female rage / feminist literature category. I am a staunch feminist. I have been for years, and I like to continue my practice of feminism by reading about it and learning, so that way I can apply the frameworks, the newest frameworks, to my worldview. So this year I read both The Handmaid's Tale and The Testaments by Margaret Atwood. I also binge watched the entire Handmaid's Tale series. So kind of links back to the whole, what you've watched is probably a book. If you've watched The Handmaid's Tale series and haven't read the books, I would highly, highly recommend reading them, because First of all, the Testaments is narrated by the woman that plays Aunt Lydia. So it was extremely immersive after I had watched the series to be listening to that actor narrate the book. I was like, I am just watching The Handmaid's Tale right now, but I'm listening to it. If you can't tell, I'm a huge audiobook fan. So The Testaments is great. The Handmaid's Tale is great. And those are both nonfiction. I mean, not yet. Those are both fiction, but they're based on very real experiences or maybe our near future. Who knows? Men Who Hate Women by Laura Bates. That's a nonfiction book about incels and kind of that incel culture. It was a very heavy read. The nonfiction books in this category are very heavy, but I just felt like it was super important to stay informed and kind of uncover what's happening, because I feel like, I mean, this was covered in I'll Go Speak too. Like, incel slang is rampant right now in the cultural zeitgeist. So it is in our everyday words. It's in our memes. Red pill, blue pill, that's incel language. Big backed and like mewing, all of that kind of stuff. Like the Chad language, that's all from incels, and incels are disgusting, like but they are a marginalized group, and so their language gets co-opted by the greater society, just like how black language gets like co-opted by the society at large. So same thing happens with incels, and it's very creepy how much of our language and our memes are based on people who hate women. So just something to think about if you're tossing around red pill, blue pill. And then Pope Joan, Donna Wolfolk Cross. I've talked about this book a little bit recently because I love it. So this book, I did it the reverse way, where I read the book and now I'm going to watch the movie. I haven't seen the movie yet, but how I got this movie is kind of crazy, because so Pope Joan is about the myth and legend of there being a female pope at one point in history. And there was a movie made about it in 2009, like a drama, a historical drama. And it was an indie film in German. So it was never distributed to the U.S. And it was impossible to stream it on my streaming platforms with my friend Courtney, who recommended it to me. Even with a VPN, we couldn't figure it out. It was like telling us, turn off your VPN. We're not going to let you watch this. So I ordered this movie from a online like indie film store in Germany and got it shipped to me. So fingers crossed, everybody, that this film will play and it won't give me a virus, because I don't know. It looks kind of sketchy, but I didn't want to pirate it. Okay, I'm not a pirater. So I bought it. I really tried to buy it. And if this doesn't work, I guess I'll have to pirate it. Sorry. So Pope Joan, great book, hopefully a great movie. And it's in my interest of feminist literature. And then Invisible Women by Caroline Cordado Perez. This is also nonfiction, lots of stats about how women are oppressed in modern society. I have a book on the way, actually. I pre-ordered it months ago, called The New Age of Sexism, How AI and Emerging Technologies Are Reinventing Misogyny by Laura Bates. So I'm actually going to read her twice this year. Love that. And yeah, so I'm hoping that this one has some interesting insights about how sexism is baked right into our AI, so I can just hate AI even more than I already do. And yeah, and then the other book I read this year, I actually read all of these this year, so that's kind of crazy. The Woman Destroyed by Simone de Beauvoir. And this one was very hard for me to read. It is feminist, philosophy, existentialism. It's not that long. And I also got it for free, so that was cool. Because, I mean, if you go back far enough, these books are just available. They're open. They're like, they're copyright free. You could print it out yourself, like, and bookbind it if you wanted to. You can download the PDF. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't have to buy books to find books within our interests. And yeah, like, so that category clearly shows I love being a feminist and I love reading about it. And I love being enraged at how women are oppressed. So yeah, like, this is probably my biggest tip, is just really sit down, think about your interests, and that's how you can start building out your TBR without book talk. And it is specifically built for you. Like, none of these books are particularly, like, popular on book talk, but I loved all of these books. They didn't go on the list if I didn't love them. And I'll paste the list below if you're really interested in reading any of these. So yeah, we're going to get into my next tip here, which is make a TBR. No shit, right? But it's something that you overlook when you're becoming a reader again, is that you'll tell people, like, oh, I'm reading this. And they'll say, oh, I'm reading this. And you won't write it down. But the thing is, you should always be writing it down, because the people around you are probably more similar to you than you think. And you should take their recommendations seriously. People are constantly giving me recommendations for books because I talk about it. That's another tip, is talk about reading, because you'll find other readers around you. And even if it doesn't sound like the book they're recommending to me would be interesting to me, I still add it to my TBR, because it doesn't cost anything to write it down. And maybe one day I'll be like, what was that book they were saying? Because either I'll be interested in it, or I'll be like, oh my gosh, this person I know would really like that book. So you can contribute to the recommendation circle even if you're not reading that book, because somebody else recommended it to you. So add it to your TBR. Your TBR can be infinitely long. It doesn't matter. No one should ever finish their TBR. But, and if you're not familiar, TBR is to be read. And then book talk will go into their physical TBR, blah, blah, blah. No, it's just your list of things that you want to read. I keep track of mine on a book tracker app. I don't use Goodreads because I am trying to distance myself from Amazon. But I use Fable. I've been really loving it for the last, like, year and a half. They're a small startup. They did have an AI scandal. They've fixed that. And I really love their UI. It's very cute. I like the stats that they give me. I could look into, like, Storygraph or something, but I'm happy enough with Fable. And I really like that there's, like, a widget that I can add to my home screen of my phone, which is a constant reminder every time I unlock my phone. Did I read today? I want to keep my reading streak. So it kind of gamifies it. And it just gives me very detailed statistics. It's like, I read this book, blah, 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 all these days this month. So I like seeing that visual. I like seeing the breakdown of the genres. I like seeing my histogram of my ratings. And for those of you that want to give a 4.25 or a 3.75 rating to a book, you can on Fable. So I like it for all those reasons. You can just use Goodreads. You could use Storygraph. You could use just your notes app. Okay? I'm just telling you, you need to write down the books that you want to read and the books that people tell you to read, because it will be useful no matter what. And before you know it, you'll have a list that you could never get through. So problem solved. You have your next book to read. I would also say, if you're trying to get back into reading, you need to gamify it. Social media is extremely addictive. It is a dopamine hit every time you log on. It is an infinite scroll. And it's just so easy to get sucked into it. You need to make reading just as addicting. And the easiest way to do that is to gamify it. So I mentioned the widget from Fable. I really like that, to gamify it a little bit. It's like Duolingo. You have your streak. You don't want to lose it. I think reading goals, that's an easy way to gamify it. It's like, well, I want to get to my reading goal is 40. And that's good for me. That's a very comfortable pace where I'm reading 3 to 4 books a month. And that's a lot for some people. So I would say the easiest goal is 12. One book per month, very doable. But also, it's, like, a little challenging. You got to stay on top of it. So You need to gamify your reading if you're really serious about getting back into it. And then lastly, community. We talked about book club. We talked about online is not as satisfying as a real group of people. But the more you talk about reading, the more you'll find that people around you are also reading. And I found out, like, so many people at my work are avid readers, and that's just such an easy small talk to be like, what are you reading? Do you have a new recommendation for me? And hopefully they're not reading things that are not safe for work. But it's just such a great way to connect with people, is to hear about what they're reading. And then you get to talk about what you're reading, and it just creates a group of people that like to read. So that makes me happy. And then my last tip before I get into the don'ts is to always have a book ready to go. I do this to an extreme where I try to have an audiobook, an ebook, and a physical book always like in progress. And that means that I can read the maximum amount of books that I can possibly handle per month. Because there's no scenario where I don't have a book ready to go, right? I'm in the bathroom, there's a book on my phone. I'm in the car, there's an audiobook on my phone. Like, I'm at my bed, there's a book on my nightstand. Like, I can't escape it, and so it makes it super easy to keep doing it. And I'm acting like it's a chore, but it's fun. Like, I'm just trying to make it as accessible as my other distractions, like Netflix, like social media. I want reading to be as easy of an option to choose, and so I make it easy by always having another book to read. And that was my big problem last month, was I had a bunch of books queued up, and they just weren't hitting. Like, I don't know. I just tried some out that I didn't really like. I don't like to read what the book's about. That's my own thing. But anyway, so I just got off track a little bit, and I didn't have a book queued up, and then I just stopped reading for a little bit. So it's very important to just have a book ready to go. And that's why I highly recommend getting a library card, getting Libby or whatever your library has to check out ebooks. There's no late fees. You can instantly check out a book. There's always going to be a book available. I sort by available right now and most popular, and just scroll until I see something that I've heard of. And then boom, you check out a book. And like some of those like classics, they'll have infinite copies of them. Like The Handmaid's Tale, infinite copies. Pride and Prejudice, infinite copies. So that's what I'm saying. Like if you get access to your library's ebook system, you will never run out of books. I promise you. So onto the don'ts. Don't force yourself to finish. I'm still struggling with this one because I love to read something that I hate and leave a scathing review. But I will quit if it's early. Like if it's the first couple chapters and I'm still like, I am not reaching for this book, it is dragging me down, get rid of it. Don't finish it. You don't need to finish it. It's not school. There's no book report due on it. So just move on to the next one. Don't lock yourself into one genre. I've talked about this. It's so good to explore. I found out I love memoirs. I wouldn't have found that out if I just stuck with my romance, whatever, right? I love reading a good memoir. So explore, explore, explore. Don't be intimidated by the people reading 100 plus books. Like I said, give yourself a realistic goal. And if it's just for the cozy fall and winter, like, you just need to read a couple books. Like, just find a few that you're excited about. And then don't buy too many books. Like I said, we don't need to be buying books all the time. I try to buy, like, I think last year I bought maybe, like, 5 or 6 books. I think this year I've bought, like, about the same, I would say. Because I get all of the rest of the books from the library. If you do buy books, especially online, I would recommend bookshop.org because they support your local bookshops with your online shopping. And you can get your ebooks from there too. So yeah, my last tip would be don't wait. Get started right now. if you can, get your library card up and running and start making that TBR list. So that's all I have for you today. Thanks for listening. I try to post bi-weekly on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. If you want to learn more about the podcast, visit angelageorge.com/voice-memos, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.